As the wave of popular unrest that is spreading through Arab nations continues, Imam McCarthy asked the expert opinion of Egyptian Jesuit Samir Khalil Samir, professor at the Pontifical Oriental Institute in Rome.
I think there are mainly two routes. One is economical, the other one is political. The first one is the most important because we have now a general crisis, economical crisis in the whole world. But it's more difficult in some countries like Egypt, where we have about 40% of the population, which means 32 million people, living with only around $2 a day, which means they cannot really live. I have seen on television in Egypt over 1 million persons in Cairo live 8 to 10 persons in one room, with all what that means as non-personalism, as a social situation. They don't have a bathroom, they don't have the minimum. And even to eat, we have seen people going more and more now asking for food, simply on the street. The situation is for a part of the population difficult, and the government did not really confront himself with this situation. And we don't have a good social structure, infrastructure to help people who are sick or going to the hospital. They prefer, I heard this often, they tell me, we prefer to remain at home. It's better to die at home than to die in hospital. The infrastructure is not good. The economical situation is really bad for a great part of the population. It's very good for a small minority who become richer and richer. And these differences of level is growing so that all what was acquired through the Egyptian Revolution in 52, and especially with the in 56 and 61, we had the two agrarian reforms, is lost. The situation is harder in the cities as in the country. In the country, people find always something to eat. In the cities, is becoming impossible. Cairo alone has over 15 million people, a great part of them living anywhere with not real houses. They live together. They try to find a room. So that's the first reason, the first truth. The other one is political. It touched more the intellectual, the journalist, and it's the lack of real democracy. We cannot say that there is a dictatorship in Egypt, but there is also no democracy. You have a regime trying to control everything because of the Islamic movement. They all fear it, the Islamic fundamentalists. So they have a system of repression which can touch anybody. there is a liberty, enough liberty in the press, but not total, not as we are used to in the West, in Europe, America, and so on. There is a control of many things, and there is only one party practically. There are others, but it's done in such a way that you have advantage to belong to the government party if you want to find a job or to have anything, any possibilities. So that, and the last preparation of the government in November and December, it was clear that the rules were done for the government party to favorize them. So this situation made the street was full with people, not politicized, but simply asking for bread and for simple life, and leaders, intellectual leaders, who were asking for democracy, liberty, freedom, more normal, modern system.
If I can ask, what, if in any way, do the protests in Egypt differ, if at all, from other similar revolts which we are seeing sweeping the entire region of North Africa and the Arab countries there?
It's not very different. It's more specific in some points. What is common is, first of all, we have almost everywhere in the Arab world governments who monopolize the politics. In Ben Ali was 30 years in Egypt, it will be 30 years in November. In Libya is 42 years. In Yemen is also a little more than 30 years. In Syria you have now a kind of the father and now the son, and who knows who comes, and this is over 30 years. This is really impossible politically. We know what is happening elsewhere. Everyone is informed through the television and through the website. They close, by the way, the websites and the cellulars, because they know that this is now very spread. So we know what is happening in the world, but why is it not happening in our world? And that's created this revolt everywhere. This is the first common thing. Then the regimes are a kind of... there is no real democracy in our countries. A little bit, certainly, in Lebanon. You have also regimes like Jordan, which is a good control, a controlled country, because there you have a traditional system. They honor, like in Morocco, they respect the king because he is a descendant of the Prophet Muhammad. But in fact, everywhere we have, if not dictatorship, we have authoritarian regimes. And this is also common. People are feeling that the things must change. There is a party in Egypt called Kifaya, which means it's enough. The name of the party is It's Enough. The people say 20 years is already too much. We need a change, an alternance of different parties, where one insists is more liberal, one is more social, so that everyone finally finds something for himself. But in our countries, there is nothing.
Father Samir, if I may, today, we're Monday, of course. This is the week after these weekend of protests in Egypt, following on from all the protests that have broken out in Tunisia, Yemen, Sudan now, also Northern Sudan is seeing protests. It's spreading. It's getting this wave of protests shows no sign of stopping. Today, Syria's leader came out and said that the Arab protests mark a new era in Arab countries. Other countries, foreign countries, are looking on with concern at this wave of protests. Israel has said that the stability of the Mubarak regime is in the best interest of the West and indeed of the whole Middle East. The US is asking for a stable transition of power. The protesters themselves in the square, in Tahrir Square in Cairo, are demanding an end to Mubarak's regime. But who or what could take his place? And one of your answers there, you spoke of the Muslim Brotherhood. There are fears, particularly those of neighbouring countries and indeed the West, that we could see an increased Islamization of authority, of leadership in these nations. We saw the return yesterday of one of the leaders of Islamism to Tunisia. Is democracy, as we understand it in the West, applicable to Egyptian and Arab culture?
I think it is applicable, but it's not now practicable. Why? If you have authoritarian regimes, they destroy systematically all the leaderships. This is the first step every such country does. So there is only people who are in agreement with this system are at the power. The Mubarak nominated his second, Omar Suleiman, who is a good diplomat and he's a military too. Obviously, Israel and the United States are in favor of regimes like Mubarak because they are not disturbing them and they are favorable to them. But the question is that good for the country? They are not bad persons, but they are not doing what we need socially and democratically. So the reactions will come against this system and will be finally against Israel, against the United States, against the West. The danger is the Islamic fundamentalist. And it is true that Mubarak fought them and put them in prisons. Here also, if we want to apply democracy, this could not be done. And this means probably the Islamic fundamentalists will take the power. The question is today, who could come? There is someone who, Al-Baradi, the Nobel Prize, who said, I'm ready to make the transition. I don't want the power. I don't want to initiate years of government, but to make the transition so that we find the right persons. And what we need is, first of all, justice, equality, social reform, because there are too much difference between rich and poor, and this is the real cause of the Islamistic movement, fundamentalistic movement, because they say with Islam there will be no poor, no injustice, because the Quran is the perfect rule and so on, is theoretical. And also practical, because they understood that the best way to get the support of the population is to make social work. So they are making social help in medicine, in for the poor, and so what the government is not doing, what the churches were always doing, they are now doing it, and they have a great success. Not because people are supporting their ideas, because they need their help. And this is the mistake of the government, I think. Now, we don't know who will come, but certainly we have to leave people. The main point is, please don't make a violent revolution. And in Egypt, the tradition is not violence. I hope that it will remain as possible, as much as possible, non-violent. But from both sides, the people and the government. But we need absolutely a change. And a change which, if the change is only superficial, it will provoke a new revolution. We have to find a medium with a medium way also with the Islamists. They have a great support from different parts of the population because since 30 years, people coming from Saudi Arabia, Egyptians who studied there, who lived there, are coming back with very radical Islam. This is a matter of fact. Now, how to move slowly to another vision of Islam, this is also the third part of the revolution, social, political, and religious. And I published a few days ago a document which is not yet known, was not known in the West, published in Arabic the 24th of January, just the day before the revolution, a document of the 23 imams and specialists of Islam, religious people, they entitled it The Reformation of the Muslim, of the religious speech, with 22 points, a program to change our approach to religion. This is also a part of the revolution, even if it is something more for intellectuals. So we need a global reform, political, economical, social, and religious. And I hope that something will start with a new government, moderate, but more close to the people. This is my hope.
Father Samir, thank you so very much for dedicating your time.